This is a tape made by the Inverness and District Gospel Male Voice Choir back in 2001, at a time of crisis and much upset and heartbreak in the farming community. It was recorded in Inverness at the Chapel of the Royal Northern Infirmary, and it includes hymns, songs, prayers, and a spoken message to bring comfort to those who were going through a time of trial. This recording is brought to you by Christians Together, the website serving the Christian community in the Highlands and Islands, and it can be found at www.christianstogether.net.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us all pray. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the great privilege and responsibility which is ours in proclaiming the good news of the gospel in word and in song. We thank you that you are an unchanging God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We come to you with thankful hearts, and we have confidence that nothing is impossible with you. You set the sun, the moon, and the stars in their courses. You are the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow cast by your turning. We call on your great name and ask that you will bless every household that receives this tape. May hearts and minds be turned to the true and living God throughout our land. At this time, when the farming communities are facing such distress and tragedy, cause your face to shine upon us. May all those caught up in this crisis be conscious of your presence with them. We believe that righteousness exalts a nation. So forgive us, our Lord God, and bring us to yourself. Restore the glory of your name. Our Father, remove from us the sophistication of our age and the skepticism that has come like frost to blight our faith and to make it weak. Bring us back to a faith that makes great and strong, a faith that enables us to love and to live, the faith by which we are triumphant, and the faith by which alone we can walk with thee. We pray for a return to that simple faith, that old-fashioned trust in God that made strong and great the homes of our ancestors, who built up this good land and left us our heritage. Help us, dear God, not to squander this heritage. May we return to being the land of the book. In the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, we pray this prayer. Amen.
Christ could help, love lifted me. his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. When the waves of sorrow, when I am in distress, Jesus takes my hand in his, ever he loves to bless. He will every fear dispel, satisfy every need. All who hid his loving call find rest indeed. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me.
I saw a surprising sight 3 weeks ago during a television news broadcast. They showed us a farmer crying. He just stood there, leaning over a fence, with the tears coursing quietly down his cheeks. This was surprising in a culture which says we should not show our feelings in public, and that men, especially macho farmer men, should not cry. Three times in the New Testament part of the Bible, it says that Jesus cried. The Jews had done a lot of crying in their time, but was that appropriate behavior from someone who was known as the Son of God? What made Jesus cry? He was traveling to Jerusalem for his last Passion Week. As he rounded the last hill and looked across the Kidron Valley to the ancient city shimmering in the sunlight, Luke's Gospel says that when he saw the city, he wept over it. Perhaps at this point, a mother hen and her chicks scurried across his path. He cried over a community, saying he would often have liked to have gathered them like a hen gathers her chickens under her wings for security and protection. He cried over the city. The verb means a loud, audible, vocal grief. He cried for them because he loved them. What about our community in Britain today, in the Scottish Highlands and Borders, Cumbria, Yorkshire, and the West Country, devastated by disease, some of our best herds ruined, and our country air full of the pungent reek of burning carcasses? I am sure Jesus would have cried over us and longs to gather us to himself. What use is crying? Sometimes that's all we can do, although crying sometimes leads to talking and talking can lead to action. Jesus cried for the community and then went out and died for the community. That's the kind of person he is. He cares, and his loving care leaves us standing, amazed, in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
See you.
Jesus cried over a community. He also cried over a family. The second reference to Jesus crying in the Gospels comes in John's Gospel and relates to a death in a family whom Jesus loved. We all know homes where we can go and relax and be ourselves and enjoy our friends. Jesus loved to visit the home of his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany, a village on the outskirts of Jerusalem. When he heard of the death of Lazarus and stood at his tomb, Jesus knew what it would be like to lose a vital income in a country with no welfare state, and what it would mean for two unmarried sisters to face poverty and loneliness. John chapter 11, verse 35, "Jesus wept," is the shortest verse in the Bible, terse and stark. The verb "wept" means the silent shedding of tears and is used only of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. He wept for this family because he loved this family. Many farming families are under siege from foot and mouth disease. It has isolated and marooned them from physical contact with neighbors and services. For many people, not because of mushy sentiment, but because of the real experiences of survival, their animals have, to some extent, been an extension of their families. Some people listening to me now have sat up all night with animals who were ill or were giving birth. Their animals are the main reason they get up in the morning, and to lose them means an aching heart, not merely a depleted bank balance. In terms of human resources, agriculture has meant commitment of young and old members of the family to the back-breaking and unpleasant tasks of the farm. The Jesus of the Gospels identifies and sympathizes with the families on the land today. The old paraphrase says, "In every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows has a part. He sympathizes with our grief, and to the sufferer sends relief. He cares." We can sing with reality and conviction, "How great thou art, great in creation, and great in concern."
O Lord my God,
sings my soul, my soul.
My soul, my Savior, God to me.
We trust and pray that you are being encouraged and strengthened by the timeless words contained in these hymns. Before we sing the well-known hymn, Rock of Ages, let me direct your thoughts to Psalm 31. This psalm reminds us that our times are in his hands, and that even in these difficult days we can hide ourselves and take refuge in the secret of his presence. Our faith is founded on a strong rock. May you be able to say like David, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. You are my rock, the rock of ages. I will hide myself in thee."
Oh,
Jesus cried over a community. He cried over a family. He also cried over a tyranny. The third reference in the New Testament to Jesus crying isn't even in the Gospels. It's in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 7. And it combines the loud crying of Luke's reference with the silent weeping of John's reference. It says, Jesus offered up prayers with strong crying and tears to the one who could save him from death. Jesus cried over the tyranny of sin and death and died on the cross to take action to deal with it. The experts have been trying to trace the origin and solve the problem of the scourge of foot and mouth disease. If their early conclusions are correct, Britain was free of this disease, but illegally imported infected meat got into our food chain through the pig swill. So we're back to what the Bible says is the root problem of the human predicament, sin and selfishness. It isn't just that someone has been irresponsible here. Someone has been bad. And it isn't just our freedom of movement or our carefully preserved breeding stocks that are affected. It's our whole lives as well as our livelihoods. The Bible says that like some virulent infection, the destructive disease of sin rules us all like a tyrant. The cure seemed worse than the disease when the experts recommended that sound, healthy animals had to be slaughtered to halt and reverse the advance of the virus. This rang bells in the minds of the Christian community. Sin, the spoiler, is an intrusion into life as God intended it. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is the holy, harmless, undefiled Lamb of God. He cried about the tyranny of sin and death in Gethsemane, and on the first Good Friday, to use the Apostle Peter's words, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He had to die to free us from this tyranny. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, and God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. No Jesus, no hope. Look to him. Jesus actually encouraged us to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. Don't be scared to ask for his help. He's only a prayer away. He is our only hope of freedom from any kind of tyranny, especially the tyranny of sin and death. And the strength of this hope goes beyond the grave, where those who believe in him will one day see him. What a day that will be! Just a prayer. O Jesus, the Lamb of God who bears away the sin of the world, see us in our need today. Bless our families today. Heal our land today. Help us to trust in your grace today. Strengthen us to live by your power today. Take us as we are and make us what you want us to be. For your glory and our good. Amen.
the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. By his grace, when he takes me by the hand.